Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. It's the Tony Perkins Show, featuring Gary Stein. No, they're not related. They're just good friends. It's Tony and Gary.
Yes, indeed, we are here. Fear not. You know what would be interesting?
What's that?
One day to have the whole intro and the music starts, and then the music ends and there's nothing.
And there's nothing. Who's that going to be funny to?
People will be checking their iPods. And, what? Huh? What?
You know, generally when we start the show, we like to hum along with the theme song because we love our theme song so much. I'm now so aware of the fact that I can't even hum on key. I can't. I can't sing. I can't hum. It's amazing to me.
You know what? Well, since you're doing it with the music, Rob Ford. Well, we haven't done any intro, but Rob, what we can do is like what they did to Mariah Carey a couple of weeks ago for the Christmas tree lighting. We'll isolate your microphone. Oh yeah, bring up the music. Yes.
That's the way to handle it.
Yeah, bring up the music. But then someone leaked out they isolated her microphone.
Yeah.
And boy, this is when she was singing All I Want for Christmas, when they lit the Christmas tree in Rockefeller Plaza. It was a live show on NBC, and she didn't show up for the rehearsal. She was 3 hours late for the rehearsal. She claimed she was on the phone with Nick Cannon dealing with...
And nobody cares about the reasons. Right, they just care that you don't care enough about us.
Yeah, so then she does the performance. It was not very good. I'm sure you all have heard this. It's old news. And someone from the crew leaked just the vocal only, and it was bad.
Wow. Oh, wow. Yeah.
It's amazing how often that is bad when you... I remember years ago, I mean, this was 30 years ago or something like that, when Paul McCartney and Wings were still together.
And somebody separated the Linda's
tracks. Oh. Yeah, from
I have that. Do you have? I'm sure you have
that. I don't have it, no.
Do you want it?
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
Yeah, I've heard it. I've heard. She's like singing Hey Jude. Yeah, it's way off.
It's terrible.
God rest her soul.
God rest her soul, Tony. Yes. Yeah, you would clean that up for everybody because you're so PC.
welcome to the show.
I would just say just one thing to finish this because, you know, I want to talk.
Yeah. What?
Yeah, what a shock for everybody. Why don't we hum the entire theme song one day and see if Rob Ford can auto-tune us?
Do you have that program? Do you have an auto-tune
Can
program?
Can you do it?
You know what? It'd be a good opportunity to learn. I'm all in. Let's do it.
You're he's Mr. Sound Technician. He has a degree in, what is it, music technology?
Music education.
Music education.
And forensics.
And forensics, yeah. Do you play an instrument?
I studied percussion in college.
Oh, okay.
I do.
I think you told us that before. Mm-hmm. So do you have a drum set?
Well, he asked you if you play an instrument, and your answer was, I studied percussion
in
college.
Well, yeah, that is true.
That really wasn't the follow-up.
You're a good lawyer. I asked if you played an instrument.
Mr. Ford.
I don't play as much as I would like to.
Counselor, I think he's evading the question.
Counselor, I'd like to treat him as a hostile witness now,
yes,
please.
Yes, exactly.
but if you played, it would be drums or percussion instruments.
Yeah, and the reason I say percussion is because a lot of people, you say drums and they just think of drums, but the percussion family encompasses all the mallet percussion as well. So, you know, your marimba.
All the what?
Mallet percussion.
Mallet? Something you hit with a mallet?
Yeah, so marimbas, xylophones.
You don't use mallets on a marimba?
Well, you use a musical mallet. It's not like a mallet.
What do you use?
Because you're a minor.
It's a wooden stick.
A wooden stick.
We haven't become any more advanced than using a wooden stick to make music.
Tony Perkins, percussion expert.
why am I questioning? He's got a degree.
Exactly.
All right, you
he
use
plays
mallets.
Percussion. I think he knows what he uses.
So since you don't play that much, I know you have a whole life going on now with us and the Mike O'Mara Show, so you're a very busy man. Is that why you don't play as much?
Yeah, one of the reasons. And when I was in music school, just being so inundated with it, it really burned me out on music for a while. I stepped away from for a while for performing, and if I can talk, Jesus.
Wow, okay.
Well, I don't think Jesus has anything to do with it, but I know that this is one of the reasons why Tony turned from comedy.
But it sounded like it also turned him from Jesus.
I think so.
Yeah, I got burned out. It turned me from percussion and Jesus.
That's another show.
Yeah, that is another show. Yeah. Anyway, welcome to this show. It is episode 22. I said I wouldn't count anymore. I didn't say that.
No, you didn't say you wouldn't.
No, I like counting. It's episode 22.
You know what you like? You like knowing that you can count.
Yes, that's right. Well, we have to be proud of what we can, you know, the things that we can do. You take your victories where you can.
That's right. That's better.
Right. Episode 22 of the Tony Perkins Show featuring Gary Stein. I'm Tony Perkins.
I'm Gary Stein.
He's Rofo, Rob Ford.
Yep.
Hitting the skins with the mallets.
Well, sounds, you are so in touch.
Sounds very strange.
Yeah. Okay.
And we thank you for listening as always. In fact, we want to remind you to please, and I know all of you are doing this, but if you're a first-time listener or whatever, tell your friends to like the Tony Perkins Show on Facebook. We're right there on Facebook.
We
Tony
are
Perkins
right
Show.
There.
Also, follow us on Twitter at TPerk Show. There's lots of extra content that we put on Facebook, on Twitter. We interact with everybody. We thank you for doing that. If you like something, be sure to leave a comment, or if you got a suggestion, do that. Your suggestions are good. We like those. So follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook.
That really covers everything.
It does, except for this.
What's that?
You can also subscribe to us on iTunes at iTunes Podcast. It's the easiest way to get the show. It's free.
That's right.
Yes, so please do that. We appreciate it.
You did that so well.
Thank you very much,
sir. Yeah, you're so radio-ish.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
Very good.
Let's see. We're getting close to the holidays.
Yeah, we are.
Oh, yeah. I got to tell you what's on the show today. We are getting close to the holidays, so in just a few minutes, we're going to give you some holiday gift suggestions.
Yes.
Yeah, come from our things that we like that we think you might like, so we'll share that. Also, on the show today,
we
as
didn't
promised
hide it. That's right.
Last week, Louis Anderson is going to be with us.
Oh, yeah.
He is busy in Las Vegas, so we'll be calling him. And, you know, this guy, he's been around for what, 30 plus years?
Yes.
As a comedian?
Yeah. Your stand-up career lasted how many years?
Well, mine lasted 9 years.
And he lasted almost 40 so far.
But I wasn't.
He's not even done.
I wasn't run out of the business, though. I left the business because other things were happening.
I thought people were after you. Wasn't there something really like it was
no.
in the papers?
No,
about?
No, no. That's not true.
That
at all.
Wasn't your career?
No. That was someone else's career. But Louis's great. He's one of my favorites. He's an anomaly. I won't say an anomaly, but he's a very clean comic. You know, you don't see a lot of that these days, it seems. And so we're going to talk about
it. I didn't know
that.
He was an anomaly. I knew he wasn't Jewish, but I didn't know he was an anomaly.
That's where he studies. He's, yeah.
Maybe that was a problem for him earlier in his life, that he was born in an anomaly.
I don't know what you think an anomaly is, but
it doesn't matter. I don't know either. I have no idea. Makes no difference.
Oh, so you're in a good mood today?
Yeah, I'm in a good mood, but I you know what? I'm in a good mood. I'm glad you asked, because I'm probably going to go somewhere. I'm not completely over something that we covered on our TV show the other night.
Oh, yeah. We covered. First of all, thank you, everybody who watched.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Love it. Love the comments. Thank you.
I think it turned out to be millions of viewers, which we didn't expect. I thought thousands. Turned out to be millions.
Was it really?
Yes.
I misread that piece of paper.
No. Well, I got that from my mother.
Dear Gary, I'm sure the millions really enjoyed the show.
No, I have the numbers in front of me, and you guys actually beat the season finale of MASH.
Wow. That's pretty impressive.
That's something. MASH. Look how far back he
went. That's good, Rob.
He's learning from us.
Yeah.
Yes, he is. Wouldn't that be sad if, you know, a few months from now, all his references are like from the
just like mine. They're
50s,
all dead people.
60s, 70s.
Oh, man.
Anyway, well, what bothered you about the show?
You know, the email problem, the fact that we live in this society where we live by our emails. And I thought after we did the segment on the TV show, which went so well, I thought that I would do a better job.
That it would go away. The problem would go away.
That I'd get better at the problem. I've actually gotten worse.
Well, you know, you mentioned this over the weekend because you and all of us were getting so many emails, especially right now with the holidays, with offers and this credit card and all that kind of stuff, in addition to the regular emails.
You know what is completely nuts about me? Well, you probably could go on
all
and on.
All right, let's start.
But let me just talk about one thing.
Okay.
So I complain about getting so many emails, not like you, and I got something to say about that. Nobody complains more about mail or email than you. And you describe that as why you're having a busy day. So we're going to, so we'll get into that in a minute. You know, you're not getting off scot-free.
I thought this is
here.
Your issue.
It is, but I love to make my issues other people's. So I am ridiculous in that my iPhone rings when I get an email.
Mm-hmm.
I get excited and think it's going to be something really good that's going to change my life.
Well, there's problem number one.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, so then you're disappointed.
I'm disappointed, and all I have to do is put it on vibrate. I won't have to hear the ding or anything. I know it's vibrating.
Mm-hmm.
I just would like to get better. First of all, we get way too much email.
We get too much email,
and
yes.
People are communicating in a very different way than they used to. There was a lot more verbal communication than there is now. It's all texting and email.
Yes.
But I know you can't get through your emails. I can't get through mine. One of the things at Good Morning America for all the years that we worked together there is like I'd come into your office would be a giant pile of mail on his desk. It never changed. It never got any smaller, but we couldn't go to lunch because he was going through his mail.
Yes.
I'll be with you in a minute to talk about the segment we're doing tomorrow, but I'm going through my mail. I could come back on any day, and if I measured it, the pile of mail on his desk was exactly the same.
But that's because new mail was coming in.
So you never could catch up.
Right, and that's what happens in email now. And we talked about this on the TV show, literally. And, you know, here's the thing. A lot of the email that I get at Fox 5 is people asking me, hey, will you host this event? Will you do this? And so that's nice. It's very nice people are asking, and I answer all of that. Sometimes people are pitching a segment or a story idea and all that kind of stuff. It's not really my job to decide that, but I will write back to them. I'll forward them to the right person. Is there something wrong with me?
No, I needed to just sort of like scratch my nose.
But see now, because when you look at someone and you're scratching your nose, that means, oh, I've got something on my nose, so I need to do something.
It could mean that you're just nosy.
Either that or steal third base.
I got up and ran out of the room.
Very good. Yeah, maybe, you know what? Maybe I'm giving you the high sign, rubbing my nose, telling you you're going in the dumper. And I'm trying to save the show.
I think you would, wouldn't you point at something else if you're going in the dumper?
Maybe I have my own signals, which goes back to baseball again. Steal.
Steal, right. Now, what's he saying? Anyway.
How did we get into that?
I'm answering email. And you're right. This is because I take it seriously and it is part of my job, but I like it, but there's so much. So when I'm doing it literally at work, I will be answering emails. Like I'll spend 30 minutes, let's say, on any given day. All right, this is what I'm going to do right now. So I'm going through answering, thanks for writing, I'll consider this, no, I can't do that, hey, you need to talk to blah, blah, whatever. And I'm feeling very good about deleting stuff, moving it, whatever.
You don't look good. You look like you're irritated as hell.
No. Don't give that impression to the listeners and viewers.
I don't. You do. If I see you going through email, I walk away. I'm telling you. I'm sorry. I got to tell the truth here.
Well, because here's the problem is, after I do it, let's say I have 70 emails when I come in.
Yes.
I go through it. I get down to what I think is 50. And then I finish what I'm doing, and I look at the list, and it's like 68 again because others have come in while I'm answering the ones.
So why bother?
Well, you have to answer.
I know you do. Remember, this began as my problem, and now it's gone. Because you know what my problem is? How often do I have to hear from Cabela's and Sports Authority and everybody else about the sales they're having?
Yeah.
Today's the day that you got to contact us, or from Verizon. And it's our fault because they slip in.
Right.
Do you want to hear about the specials? And I always say no.
So do I.
I don't want to hear.
Well, how are you getting it still?
Because I must make a mistake somewhere.
Yeah.
Every single day I get something from Bloomingdale's.
Yeah. Why
don't they just send me a gift?
Yeah. Last year, I bought a couple of suits from Joseph A. Bank. You know, they have these big sales. Here's another offshoot. I went in there one day, and it was like buy one, get three free or something. And I was just like, this is fantastic, because I go through suits. I got to wear them on TV every night. I'm like, this is an incredible sale. I'm so happy I stumbled into this. Well, little did I know, they do this like every other week. Everything's always
on
sale.
It's like any merchandising.
Right. But these people, and hey, they're wonderful. You're very nice people. I liked shopping there. But I get emails from them every day.
Yeah. Can I say something else, though, about that since you're a billionaire?
I'm not a billionaire.
He's a billionaire. And Rob, basically, he's shopping at Joseph A. Banks and Men's Warehouse.
That's right.
And I
see, you know, because he's a billionaire, but he's careful.
Yes.
I would see him going to Brooks Brothers or something, you know, where they're making the clothes right on his body.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but he's going to Joseph A. Banks, which is a very good company, but he's buying off the rack, and it probably doesn't fit that well.
Well, no, but they will tailor it for you.
Yeah, and but you always tell me you won't spend for the tailoring.
And he does, in fact, like the way he looks.
You're going to like it.
Yeah.
I do like it. Anyway, enough with all the email.
I don't know how to stop going through it, and also I have another problem with it, which is just that I say this is horrible. I say it's really, you can never get through it all. I'm sick of all the ads. But on any given day, if I look at my cell phone and there aren't enough emails, I wonder what I've done wrong.
Right.
And how come people aren't writing to me?
You can't be happy either way.
No, I'm not designed that way. I'm not. I'm
true.
Only designed to be unhappy or unhappier.
Right. As long as you know that about yourself.
Oh, well, I do.
That's the important thing. Yes.
Enough about emails.
All right.
And me.
And you.
Holidays are around the corner, Tony.
Holidays are around the corner. Are you ready? Now, let me ask, Hanukkah this year, when is it? Because it moves a little bit every year.
It's this year.
No, I know that. Is it coming up?
It is coming up, and because I have to
move. I know it's coming up. But
because the date moves.
Right.
You know, it's not like Christmas, which we always know when it is. We have to be more confusing because we're Jews.
Yes. Well, you're probably trying to avoid problems, so you just, you know, you want to move it around.
I don't know what we're doing. I just know that right now I don't know exactly. I have to look at the calendar and see when Hanukkah hits.
Rofo, can you look into that while we're talking?
And you're probably going to ask us, you know, ask me whether or not we celebrate.
Well, I was going to ask you if you're ready.
Well, I'm always ready.
Yeah, yeah. For Hanukkah.
You mean like did I get the gifts?
Am I ready?
Do I have candles?
You have the menorah. Do you have to get new candles every year?
You know, you may not.
I probably shouldn't.
You walked right into it. Okay, this is an educational moment on the Tony Perkins Show.
Yes, it is.
Candles burn.
Yeah, I know that.
And you can't use them again. So you actually do every year have to buy candles.
Because they burn all the way down.
They do. Yes, they do. You know,
I forgot.
No one's come up with candles that burn halfway. So that may be something we want to do because, you know, you're a billionaire, but we're not that
successful. I'm not a billionaire.
When he's not buying the expensive suits, he's buying fine candles.
Candles that last forever.
Yes.
Do we know when Hanukkah is?
December 16th. That's a Tuesday.
Okay.
Oh, very good. I'll be ready.
And it lasts for 8 days, right?
Yeah, but I've already been
Tomorrow. December 16th. That's tomorrow. From the date that this is...
When we finish this, I have to go to the dollar store to do all my shopping.
The dollar.
I'm very,
there are some jokes there, but I'm not going there.
I got things all picked out.
They are... And again, I don't want to appear ignorant, but...
try to stop that.
What a wonderful Hanukkah spirit you're
Merry
in.
Christmas.
it's small gifts, right? You know, it's not big gifts for 8 days, right?
You know what? See, that's the misnomer.
Oh, okay.
That Hanukkah always takes a back seat. But, you know, okay, a lot of people overindulge and they really do 8 days of Hanukkah presents.
Okay.
We don't.
Okay.
But do you know that Hanukkah was not a big deal holiday? And the only reason it became one with big gifts in 8 days is because the kids were comparing themselves
to the kids
who were celebrating Christmas and getting a lot of presents.
Yeah.
And the Jewish kids were feeling like left out. So it became a much bigger holiday than it really is.
And I think that's been during our lifetime.
I think Hanukkah was
a much smaller, not insignificant. It's a very important holiday.
It's the festival of lights,
right,
but it's not like Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah.
That's right.
You know, it's
the high holidays.
Yes, this is a mild holiday.
I know a little bit.
And you do. You know a little bit.
It's about the it has to do with the Maccabees, right?
Yeah, and the McCoys. Weren't they feuding with each other?
I wish I'd thought of that. The Maccabees and the McCoys.
Did I get something mixed up?
I think that's the name of this episode.
Oh, boy.
The Maccabees and the McCoys. That's great. Well, it sounds like you're ready. You're going to be ready when you stop by.
I'm going to be ready. I promise.
Christmas is coming up in about 10 days, depending on when you're listening. Yeah, that's the big one. And to many people.
We celebrate both. We're Jew Episcopals.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. And I understand that. Your wife is not Jewish.
Right.
Yeah, so there you go. Is she Episcopalian?
Yes.
I've asked that before.
Yes, right? She is.
I asked if she was.
No, you asked if she was an Episcopal.
Yeah.
And I said you can't be an Episcopal.
You know what's good about this show? People realize, at least in my case, that I'm no brighter than the rest of them. You know?
Right.
You may think because I'm on TV, reading the news, yeah, I'm an idiot.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm not going to follow that with the same theory.
Fox 5 will love that as a promo. Yeah. You're watching tonight.
Exactly.
He's an idiot.
He's not that smart. Listen, you're a news anchor. You can read teleprompter. No teleprompter here.
All right, holiday gift suggestions. I think that we have a good relationship with our audience, and you know, sometimes we do funny stuff, sometimes it's educational, mm-hmm. whatever it is, and I think people are kind of interested in some of the things we're interested in, so I wanted to give my gift suggestions. These are not funny suggestions, these are things that have come out during the course of this year. I'm a big music buff, as you know,
okay.
and a TV buff. And these are things that I think you might find, if not you, Gary,
right.
Rob Ford, or some of our listeners might find interesting as gift
ideas. That's great. So let me just get this straight for a second. This is a segment that's not going to be funny. You're going to give suggestions.
Yeah.
This might be a time for me to take a pee.
You might like some of the suggestions.
All right. So you want me to stay?
Yes, please stay. Please just hold it for a few minutes.
You mean hold the idea that I have to do something or hold it?
Hold it.
All right.
All right. My first suggestion is, man, let me tell you something. This is a DVD set that I have been waiting for 30 years.
Then it's got to be Beatles related.
No, it's not Beatles related, but it's one of the three B's from the 60s.
The Bee Gees?
There were Beatles.
The Bubble Bees?
No, let me get to it. Let me see if you can fill this in.
Yeah, let me try.
Beatles, Bond, as in James Bond, and
the Beach Boys.
It's not musical. Think TV. Music. Beatles. Movies, Bond, TV.
Nope, sorry.
Give them a little clue, Rob.
Oh, one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Neil Hefti, Batman.
Yes. I love it.
You can't listen to this song without bouncing up and down.
That's right. Can you believe it has taken...
One of the great theme songs of all time.
It has taken until 2 months ago, I think, to put the Batman TV series out on DVD and Blu-ray.
You know what that suggests to me?
What?
That there were rights issues.
You're absolutely right.
Because that's the only reason why things that you know would sell really well,
absolutely.
Why they don't come out.
In fact, this is one of those things where I think they have... it'll sell tremendously well.
Yes.
But they probably missed a million or so sales because people died. You know, just being honest.
Yes.
Baby boomers were getting older, you know. This show was such a... Ooh, this is kind of funky. Bring this up a little bit. Yeah, this is the whole... Oh, yeah.
People couldn't wait for the two nights in a row to watch this in prime time.
Yep. And I think we talked about Batman once before. The great thing about this show, when I was a kid, and I remember to this day, it came on in 66, so I was 8 years old. I remember my brother and I were getting ready for bed, and this TV show comes on. It came on at 7:30. It was on ABC and Thursday night.
That's right.
Originally. And I remember it came on, and it was like this colorful, whoa, Batman. And we were like, whoa, can we stay up? And our mom let us stay up. And then at the end, I may have said that. I've told the story many times. I don't know if I've told it on the podcast. But we watched the show, and at the end of the show, when the announcer said, will Batman get out of this fix? Will the boy wonder, blah, blah? Tune in tomorrow.
Same
bat time. Same bat channel. My brother and I went crazy. Tomorrow!
That's right.
Yeah, it was. And it's so cool when you're a kid.
I didn't pay attention in school ever. But certainly, waiting for Batman to be on the next day for the conclusion, all I thought about in school was actually watching that episode at night.
But the great thing about Batman, the TV series, is that it was so cool when you were a kid. As an adult, it is hysterical.
Oh, yeah.
It is one of the funniest things out there. The dialogue was clever. The things that they would you pulled some, Rob?
Holy hole in a donut.
Holy hole in a donut.
Well, he had holy something every week.
Every week there was holy something.
But listen, there were cartoon shows, and this may be one of the first live action shows that was very aware of doing a show for the kids.
Yeah.
With a lot of innuendo and fun stuff for the adults.
Oh, yeah. When Catwoman would be on the scene and Batman was attracted to her. But, you know, they couldn't fully express all that. They managed to do it in different ways. Very funny. Anyway, it is finally out, the entire series. It's expensive, but you can get it on DVD or you can get it on Blu-ray. The Blu-ray's more expensive.
You can probably go through Amazon through the Mike O'Meara Network to buy it.
Yep. You know what? In fact, Gary, you are so smart because I forgot that. Everything that I'm going to mention today, you can get on Amazon. And yes, go through the Mike O'Meara app. Is that what it is?
Go through the Mike O'Meara Show Amazon portal. Go to MikeO'MearaShow.com. Click the Amazon banner. It'll take you right there.
Fantastic. It's good
Listen
for the whole
Listen to a
network.
Show while you're shopping.
Yeah, there you go. Fantastic. It's 120 episodes, features everybody. Take a look at the card. And the show attracted. I'm sure you enjoyed the show because it was a superhero, but all the old movie stars and stuff.
Yes, I love the people that popped up, and I especially loved the surprise guests that would pop up when they were climbing up the walls.
Yeah, that's right.
And somebody would pop out a window.
Sammy Davis Jr., I remember once.
Yeah. That was a lot of fun.
Have you ever seen it, Rob?
Yeah, I've seen a couple episodes
It's great.
Yeah.
It is just so great. And now it's beautiful. I bought it. It's beautiful. Connor and I watched a little bit of it together. Connor was cracking up.
Connor is so smart that he probably got the jokes for the kids and the jokes for the adults.
Right. Well, like for Rob, the first episode, the Riddler is in it. And I don't remember, you know, he leaves these riddles that are bizarre. And the police department, which is so funny, the Gotham City Police, they can't figure anything out.
No.
They're always calling Batman and Robin.
Yeah.
Batman, this was the riddle he left. And Batman will read it out loud. Not in the episode, in the Batman movie that came out, I think in 67 or whatever.
I believe sounds right.
In the Batman movie, we've watched it 10 times because that's all we had to watch before the DVDs of the TV series came out. In the Batman movie, the Riddler, there's a riddle that says, what's yellow? I think it's what's yellow. What's yellow sits in a tree and is dangerous. And Robin says immediately, what's a yellow bird? Give me a swallow. What's a bird?
A canary.
Yeah, that's what it is. He says, a canary with a machine gun. Of course, Robin, that's right. What?
Yeah.
And Connor's what? And Commissioner Gordon, why didn't we think of that?
Yes. It's just because insane. We're not Batman.
Right? It's insane. Anyway, if you have a baby boomer in your family, pick it up. Batman, it is rights issues. How did it take that long?
It took a long... Hey, you know what? Legal things can take forever.
It must have been between Fox Television and DC Comics, but it's in their best interest to get it out there. So
that's great that it's out. Useless tidbit. Alert. Neil Hamilton, who played Commissioner Gordon, was a silent screen star.
Was he really?
Yes, he was.
I never knew
that. He was a leading man silent screen star.
Never knew that.
And he had a very high voice.
Did he?
Yes. Think about Commissioner Gordon. And I can picture why he was a silent screen star. Yeah. Anyway.
Burgess Meredith, Frank Gorshin, all the others
great
who were
people.
On. Yeah. Okay. So that's my recommendation, number one. Number two, I'm a big music fan. I've said on the show before, I like a wide variety of music. I really do. Oasis was a big group in the 1990s. They're broken up now, right, Rob?
Yeah. I believe so. Yeah.
Two brothers, Liam and what's the other guy's name?
Horatio?
the Gallagher. Not Gallagher.
That was a magician. Gallagher never went out with Oasis.
I have the CD right here. I should do more research. Whatever their names were, they're brothers, and they didn't get along, so they broke up. Anyway. Yeah.
Well, that was a lot of information from the newsman.
I told you, I'm an idiot. Their biggest album, What's the Story, Morning Glory, featured hits such as this one, Some Might Say.
Oh,
There's your percussion, Ropo.
Somebody's using a mallet.
Anyway, this is a big hit album. It is their most successful album, most popular album, critically acclaimed. What's the Story, Morning Glory? Came out in 95. It has now been reissued in a deluxe edition. So in addition to the original album on CD number one, CD number two has a lot of B-sides that were, you know, B-sides to the singles, some songs that were recorded for the album but not included on the album. And then there's a third disc of demos and live cuts and all that kind of thing. It sounds fantastic, but disc number two, the songs that were outtakes or were the B-sides of, oh my goodness, it's a whole new, because a lot of these songs many of us have not heard before.
Right.
It's a brand new Oasis album from that same era when they were at their peak. If you like this music, and this isn't your type of thing, right?
Not really, but I do like them. I probably wouldn't buy it.
Right, right. Yeah. If you got to buy it, because if you're an Oasis fan, it's like you're getting a bonus CD of a brand new Oasis album. The song that's getting the most attention that I love is called, now it's weird, it's called Round Our Way, but R is spelled A-R-E. It grammatically doesn't make sense.
Right.
Round Our Way. I want you to listen to this. I'm going to tell you what it reminds me of.
Okay.
I describe this as
you want to tell me after?
I'll tell you after. Yeah, let's listen to Round Our Way by Oasis.
I know what it reminds me of.
Okay.
Can I say it?
Yes, please do.
Loud. Am I right? Yeah, was that what you were going to say?
It is loud, yes. I know this is not your type of music. You know what it sounds like to me a little bit with the drums and the horns?
Yeah.
It's like a revved up, louder, Got to Get You Into My Life by the Beatles.
The Beatles!
Wow. You must keep your finger on that button through the entire show.
I think he sleeps with his finger on the button.
But, I mean, can you hear what I'm saying?
Yes.
Because Got to Get You
Yeah.
And it's got horns.
Oh, you hear
in
all those mallets hitting really hard. Yeah.
You hear what? The mallets hitting hard. Yeah, that's right.
Those mallets.
Do you like that song?
Oh, I love that song.
Yeah,
it's great. I mean,
it's a great song. So that's the second disc of a three-disc set, Oasis, What's the Story, Morning Glory. By the way, Oasis was Liam and Noel Gallagher. Yes, the Gallagher brothers. I was right.
Right, okay. Yes. But Gallagher, the magician, was not one of the
brothers. He might have been the older brother. Yeah, he was the older brother, and he had no musical skills, except that he would use his mallet on watermelons.
And so right, I remember
out.
Seeing that.
That's right.
Do you like Oasis more than your idol, Bobby Vinton? He's got nothing to say to that. Okay. All right. Go ahead. Give us the next gift, Tony.
Yes, I do. All right. Here's something you might buy, Gary.
Okay.
Are you like completely uninterested because you wouldn't buy these things? You'd buy Batman.
No, I'd definitely buy Batman.
Okay.
I'm interested in everything you do. This is your show.
I think this is this you would buy, and now I hesitate to bring it up because it is the Beatles.
Oh, boy.
The Beatles!
But now, I'm going to be honest with you.
What? This is something that's new that came out?
Yes, but it's new, but of course it's old because there's new Beatles.
No.
5 years ago, they put out the new remastered CDs, the original British albums. Then they put them out on vinyl.
Yeah.
Then they put out the mono CDs. Well, now they've put out the mono albums on vinyl. Even I, Mr. Big Beatles fan, said, that's enough. I'm not buying this. It's like $300, almost $400.
For how much? For every album?
Every album that came out originally in mono. So it, the only albums it doesn't include is Abbey Road and Let It Be. Those were only mixed to stereo.
So it's all the original artwork everything,
yes.
Right?
Oh, yes.
The, even the inside
jacket. The inside everything.
Jacket.
Yep.
Yeah.
Just, it, like most people bought it in the 60s, mm-hmm. and most people originally were buying those albums in mono. And that's what the Beatles, that's what they spent most of their time on mixing, doing the mono mixes, because remember, in the early and mid 60s, stereo was not a big thing. And the Beatles and other bands as well, the Beatles attended the mixing sessions for all of their albums, the mono mixes, and they spent tremendous time. Then when they were done, they would say to George Martin, their producer and engineer, all right, you do the stereo mix, because it wasn't that important.
Wait, so
them.
Now which mono record vinyl are we talking about? Are we talking about the American?
We're talking
capital?
About the British.
We're talking about the British original,
yes.
albums.
So the Beatles British albums, as they intended their music to be heard,
right,
in mono. I have to admit, even I was like, I'm not doing it. I got everything
else. Oh, I bet
else.
You will.
I don't need, well, now
I, will.
I am, because I've read some of the reviews and people say it is the best. If you want to hear the Beatles the best that you can, buy the vinyl mono albums.
And you set your whatever system you have for mono to hear it that way?
Yeah, well, if you have a stereo system,
yes.
And you know, you got to have a turntable, obviously.
I do, yeah,
okay.
I do.
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
It will come out mono. You don't have to change anything.
Okay.
It just
okay.
comes out in mono. So I want to play a little bit of I Want to Hold Your Hand. Here's the deal. I'm a big Motown fan as well. Over the years, we've all gotten used to hearing the stereo versions of all this
right.
stuff. The Motown singles, sometimes you hear them now on the radio or wherever, and you think, okay, that doesn't really sound the way I'm used to hearing it, like
mm-hmm.
Stomp in the Name of Love or something,
right?
Because you're hearing it in stereo. The mono is what jumped out of your radio speakers
right.
and your stereo or hi-fi speakers back in the 60s, and because it was more powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And same with the Beatles music. We're used to hearing I Want to Hold Your Hand in mono, in stereo.
I heard them on my gramophone.
On your gramophone, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. You had the, did you have the tube thing that you had? No, gramophone.
No, I had to crank it.
You cranked it, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm a Victrola.
Oh, no,
the
Victrola.
Beatles! Oh, yeah, tell you something.
This is not the Beatles.
I want to hold your hand.
It does sound great, but you know, Apple is so insane.
Yeah.
I wonder if we just spent the entire budget for our show for two or three years.
Oh, well, we're only playing little bits of the songs. Yeah, that's why we're
you,
that's
you
a
know
good
what?
Point.
Because you remember our days on Good Morning America?
Oh, my God.
Every time I wanted something from Apple, I had to go through...
You had to jump through
hoops.
Yeah.
But I often got what I wanted.
Well, because they knew that it was for a piece that we were doing. There was a guy who was like half ABC, half Apple who was there.
And ABC was very connected
yes.
with them.
Yeah, so
But every time you and I do something that's Beatles related, I see dollar signs. Yeah. And think, because Apple's not forgiving.
Yeah,
they're just
you're
not,
right. You're
know?
Right. Well, we only played a little bit.
We did.
And you know what? We're promoting. It's the mono.
We're promoting it.
Yeah. It's the mono vinyl box. It is expensive.
That sounded great.
Yeah. Doesn't that sound
that
good? Because it's
great.
Got that punch.
Yeah.
You know?
It really does.
So let me tell you, folks. I'm going to give you a little tip. You can find it on Amazon, and you're going to go through the Michael Mara website and all that kind of stuff. I'm going to tell you the cheapest place I've seen it: Collector's Choice Music. If they're online, I have no affiliation with them, www.ccmusic.com. They have it for $300. And if you subscribe to their catalog, you will get an additional 20% off. So there's a little tip if you want to get that for somebody. I know there's not a lot of time left before Christmas, but that's where I got it.
I think Collector's Choice actually puts out music under their name.
Yes, they do, as a matter of fact.
I've seen
yes.
CDs
yes.
Under Collector's Choice.
They put out a wide variety of stuff, mostly. Well, they put out
See,
yeah,
I know
Collector's
something.
Choice, their label.
I know something.
Yeah. So since Gary mentioned that, Rob, we're not going to play the other Beatles songs that I had you pull.
Just the Beatles!
And that'll be the last mention. Okay, just two more things, Gary, if you can bear with me. I'm going to go to Jermaine Jackson.
I don't have a choice.
Well, just... I sit through your stories.
Yeah, but they don't cross over 2 days.
Wow. That's because we edit them down.
There you go.
Inside information.
Yeah.
All right. Jermaine Jackson. I'm a huge Jermaine Jackson. Well, not huge, but I like Jermaine Jackson.
Yeah.
Original member of the Jackson 5. Had a great solo career. Nothing like Janet or Michael, of course. But
I loved his duet with Whitney Houston.
Well, funny you should mention that.
Are you serious?
Yes.
I had no idea what you're doing here. But I think it's one of the best things he's ever recorded.
It is my favorite Jermaine track. And he did a track on an album that was simply called Jermaine Jackson. It came out in 84, I believe. This is how unknown Whitney Houston was. On the album, he also did a duet with Pia Zadora.
Oh,
I forget the name of the song, but it was, you know, whatever the song was, blah, 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 featuring Pia Zadora.
Right.
And then there was the track, which is Take Good Care of My Heart. And that's all it said on the album. It didn't say featuring Whitney Houston because no one knew her at the time. She was just up and coming. You're going to like this. This is a little bit of Take Good Care of My Heart.
Did.
Yeah, they did. Here's the thing. Here's why I'm recommending this, because I like the Jacksons overall. I like the Jackson 5, the Jacksons, Michael, Janet, Jermaine.
Donnie
Jackson. Oh, Donnie, that was Donny Osmond. Yeah. Well, Donnie was not a Jackson. He was the anti-Jackson at that time.
Well, Jesse Jackson was the older brother.
Jesse Jackson, yes. He was a member of the Jackson 5.
Yeah.
Who else?
Reggie.
Reggie Jackson.
And also a guy who changed his name, Hugh Jackman, started out as a Jackson.
No. What? Well, he wanted to differentiate himself.
He, you know why?
Why?
He went Broadway.
Yeah. Well, that's right. And the brothers were like, no,
don't go there.
No. Okay. Anyway, there's been no good collection of Jermaine Jackson music out that encompasses all his periods of time. Now there is. It's called Playlist. You know, this is a series. Playlist. They put out less expensive CDs.
Right.
They're generally $6.98 or $7.98. 14 tracks, the best of whatever artist.
Right.
There's a whole series. Well, this year they put out Playlist, the very best of Jermaine Jackson. Take Good Care of My Heart. Do What You Do is on there. Even his first hit, Daddy's Home. Play 3 seconds of that so we hear that.
You're my love.
You remember this?
I sure do.
Yeah. This was when he was with the Jackson 5, I think.
And how 1960s does this sound to you?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Now, okay, now, I know you know this. I can't remember. Who?
Uh-oh.
Was it Bobby Vinton? Who had the hit with this? Daddy's Home. Daddy's Home.
I don't, you know what? I don't know.
All right. Anyway, and lastly, this could almost fit in. This is the last one, Gary.
Thank God.
But you're going to like this. Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Oh, yeah.
I love Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Oh, me too.
This almost fits into What Were They Thinking? They have a new album out. It's called Holiday. Now, first of all, I love Earth, Wind, and Fire. I love the 70s and early 80s Earth, Wind, and Fire. When Maurice White was there,
yep.
Everybody was still together. Maurice got very sick,
mm-hmm.
So he no longer performs with the group. I don't even think he writes with them, records with them.
But Maurice Black took over right after he...
Maurice Black came in,
yeah.
Yes, and...
saved the group,
right.
I think.
There, some of the original members are still there. Philip Bailey. I almost said Pearl Bailey. Philip Bailey.
This is the senile show we're doing...
Anyway, they have a holiday disc out right there that puts up a red flag. It's like, really? A Christmas album from Earth, Wind, and Fire? Where they do some traditional songs, Joy to the World. They've also rather smartly decided to take a couple of their old songs. There's a song they did called Happy Feelings, which is now Happy Seasons. Uh-huh. And do you remember the big hit September?
Oh, yeah.
Do, do, do. Do, 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 do.
I remember when it sounded good.
Well, they've changed that, Gary, to December.
Oh, no.
Check it out. Now, this is the original September track. They've just redone the vocals.
Don't buy it.
Oh, yeah. December 25th. Now, some of those lyrics are the original. They've done a minimal amount of work here.
Yes, yes.
They've changed a couple. Do you remember, you know, whatever, the 25th, the night of the 25th of December?
But it's not really what were they thinking, because it's actually a smart move for merchandising, right? It's the right time of year.
You know what? How many tracks are on this? It's a 13-track CD. Two of the tracks are classic Earth, Wind, and Fire, updated for the holiday season. People will buy it for that.
They will buy it.
Yeah. I listened to a couple of the other tracks. They're so-so to me.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, that's actually pretty smart.
That's a smart idea.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. So that's my last recommendation for the holiday season. Earth, Wind, and Fire, the name of the album is Holiday. It's brand new. You can find this anywhere. Best Buy, anywhere.
Now, you think that I give you a hard time for doing segments like this, but actually, I got to give you the props because sometimes every once in a while I have to say something nice to you.
Thank you.
Or I'll be off the show probably. But what I loved about when we used to do Stealing Scenes, the show we did at ABC 75 years ago, your enthusiasm for music is just over the top wonderful.
Yeah.
And when you're presenting these albums, I look at you and you are so excited about everything that's music. And we always did that on Stealing Scenes.
And I
love it. You're introducing new things.
Yeah.
You're very, very excited.
Because
I love music, but you are really
But that's the best thing about music. You want to share it with other people.
Yeah,
you know,
that was
what was great about being on the radio. And on Stealing Scenes, you brought to us, your segment was, I hear dead people.
Because
like, everyone he brought was Sarah Vaughan, Joe Williams,
it was
and
all reissues of dead people.
Right. And great stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Great stuff. So I just love it. I love sharing it.
Yeah.
Not everyone's going to like every single little thing, but hopefully, you know, it'll perk your ears up and you say, hey, I do like that. That's pretty cool.
I don't know if my ears are going to perk, but see, everything with him has to be perk. It's got to be, you know, at T-perk. And you see, I give it, I take it away.
Right.
But I really am always impressed at how much you know.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Well, you're very welcome. You know, you mentioned What Were They Thinking?
Yes, yes.
And I actually have one.
Another one?
I love it. Here we go.
I love it.
So this goes back to the original version of What Were They Thinking was really about.
You presented one several weeks ago, Jackie Wilson singing Al Jolson songs.
Yes.
This is worse than that?
I think so.
Really?
Yes. I think as wonderful as Jonathan and Darlene Edwards were, this is as bad as it gets.
Wow.
And it's with an icon. It's from a different era. I'm sorry, everybody.
That's okay.
And you probably know this.
Okay.
I bet you do, but I bet you won't mind revisiting it.
Okay.
Ethel Merman.
I know Ethel Merman.
Was one of the great ladies of the Broadway
stage.
Big voice. I never quite understood the interest in Ethel Merman with that. She had a very unique voice that was grating to me.
Yeah.
And she was in a ton of hit musicals.
Yeah.
And she decided at a certain period in her life that she was not really vital, you know, and it was the 70s. And the 70s was the disco era.
Oh, no.
Oh, you just sit back in your seat.
Oh, no.
You just sit back because I want to play a couple of tracks from the Ethel Merman disco album that came out in 1979. And here's what she did. She didn't do, like, you know, I Love the Nightlife.
Right.
She didn't do any of the iconic songs. She picked her own songs from
Gypsy.
and other and movies that she was in, and she simply gave everything a disco beat.
Oh.
So here is a little sampling of the disco album of Ethel Merman, There's No Business Like Show Business.
There's no business like show business. There's no business I know. Everything about it is appealing. Everything the traffic will allow.
Picture this at Studio 54.
I can't believe this.
Okay, just take that down.
It's and it because even the disco music is not great disco music.
You know what? It's canned elevator disco music.
Oh,
Ethel Merman could have done anything she wanted. Now, look, I know we want to get to Louis Anderson because I really want to, but you have to hear her biggest hit from Gypsy.
This is
Studio 54 is not doing disco?
Can I tell you something,
what?
Though?
Is this...
If this were on CD, I would buy this because it's hysterical.
Well, guess what? It's on CD. Why don't you go to Amazon through the Michael Mirren Network?
Wow.
It's on CD.
The Ethel Merman disco album.
Do you
album.
Know that I almost bought it for you?
I would take it. I would
right.
take it.
I'm buying it for you. It's a little Christmas present from me to you. And you know what I say? Good luck.
Yeah, I mean, it is so bizarre. And, you know, this is the best titled segment we have. What were they thinking?
Yes.
Because literally, that's all you can say.
So who were the record executives that said this is a good idea?
Well, you know what? Here's how it went down. Disco was all the rage.
It was.
Everybody went a little disco.
Yes.
To the outrage of many. Rod Stewart, Do You Think I'm Sexy? Paul McCartney and Wings, Good Night Tonight?
Mm-hmm.
The Rolling Stones, Miss You? So everybody was jumping on that bandwagon.
Right.
But who thought, you know what? You know who could have a hit again?
Let's drag Ethel Merman
Ethel
out.
Ethel Merman! Oh, my God. That is hysterical.
Oh, thank you.
That's great.
Thank
it reminds me of that old record, Hooked on Classics.
Yeah,
oh,
where they
yeah.
where they chopped up. Yeah,
yes.
yeah.
Hooked on Broadway.
Hooked,
with
well,
Ethel Merman.
That could work. Now, that I could understand because it's just a little bit, and it's kind of quirky and funny, but a whole
album.
Now,
of course, I'm surprised, but I love that you never heard it.
Never heard it.
And tell me if it's at least just as weird as Jackie Wilson doing Jolson.
Oh, it's absolutely.
It's off
absolutely.
The charts, right?
Ethel Merman, trying to have a hit again in 1979.
I will get you this album.
That's great, man. All right, we do have to get to Louis Anderson.
Yeah.
One of the greats, Dial him up. Comedian Louis Anderson appearing in Vegas right now. He's he has a residency there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
he does.
So we're getting him. He's got a busy day, but he said he'd spend some time with us.
Here we go.
Louis Anderson.
Hey.
Hey, Louis.
Oh, what's
man.
Up?
How you doing, buddy?
I just want to say I'm great because I got up this morning and it was 65 degrees and sunny in beautiful Las Vegas, Nevada. And I know the most rest of the country is probably not exactly at that temperature, so I'm really happy.
I think you're gloating, Louie.
Yeah, it must be nice to work.
Hold on a second. Could you get me some iced tea, please?
Louis Anderson living the life.
Oh, man.
how are you, sir? We're very happy to have you on the show. How are you doing these days?
I'm good. I'm good, Tony. I'm good. I'm happy to be on the show. I have the greatest life. I'm super grateful and full of thanks for everything I have, and I love my job. It's just a blessing. It's a blessing all around. I'm lucky.
Hey, Louis, you know, when you and I met when I was working on the Dr. Oz show for about 5 minutes, but I think one of the best things I did was I did the segment with you, and you and I hit it off really well. We had a lot of fun. We had you come out on stage on an exercycle next to Dr. Oz, and you were pushing the Get Off the Couch campaign, which was for you to get the weight situation under control and to inspire other people to do it. And you were incredibly inspirational about it. How is that going? Are you still involved in the Get Off the Couch stuff?
I am. you know, one of the things that really is important is, you know, a lot of people out there are morbidly obese like I am. And, they almost got me.
The cops are
after me. They almost got them.
luckily, I'm moving faster these days. So, what I don't think people realize is that there are millions of people out there who are not moving at all. You know, forget the gym. Mm-hmm. Forget the exercise programs. These people aren't moving.
Mm-hmm.
They're basically get up out of bed. They go to, I don't know, the couch, the chair. You know, they go someplace to be sedentary. And they sit there for several hours. And then they end up going back to bed at some point. You know, I just was trying to inspire people because I was doing that. I was going to work every day was the difference. I was not moving, and I should have been moving.
You know what? A lot of it had to do with what the life of a stand-up comic is and what the eating schedule was like.
Oh,
and that
yeah.
was very impressive to hear from you. Could you tell us a little bit about, you know, this added a lot to trying to stay in shape.
Well, you know, here's the thing. When we grow up on the road, you know, it's 36 years I've been finishing work at, you know, 11 at night. You know, and there's three choices at that time. There's one Chinese place, there's four hamburger places,
mm-hmm.
and then there's 25 pizza selections. And if you go on any website and put in what are the worst foods for you, the pizza will be one, the burgers will be two, and the Chinese food will be three,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, some variation of that. All I was trying to do was change my behavior. Now, the last two nights, I had a late night. So one, I went to Subway, got the turkey with extra turkey and some Swiss cheese. Then I told them to hold the bread. Then last night, I got a can of tuna, and I ate the can of tuna and some fruit.
Wow.
Now, listen, I was hungry afterward.
Yeah.
And I was hungry as the old Louis Anderson after the show
mm-hmm.
that wanted to have some sort of carb, some sort of cookie,
mm-hmm.
some sort of chips. But, you know, you have to change. And change is the most difficult thing for people.
Mm.
We're all liars about it. We all tell people we're doing good. If you have to talk too much about how good you're doing, you're not doing any good. You're not doing good.
No, and the worst part about that is that we're often lying to ourselves.
Yeah.
We're telling ourselves how well we're doing while we're eating the slice of pizza.
Gary, you're right. We're lying to only ourselves because the other people don't even care.
Right. That's right. You're absolutely right.
We think they care. They just said it offhandedly, and we put all that importance.
Right.
You know,
right.
when you're an addict, whether drugs, or alcohol, sex, or food. When you're an addict, you have to ask yourself every day, who did I lie to about food, drugs, sex, or alcohol?
Mm-hmm.
Who did I lie to? Because if you're lying, that's no good.
Yeah.
If you say, I'm trying, then you're lying. That's
right.
A 12-step program thing.
Right.
If you're lying, if you're trying, you're lying.
Wow.
You're either doing it or you're not.
Right.
Hey, if you eat bread and you're not supposed to eat bread, you need to call somebody and say, I ate some bread.
Right.
It has to be out there.
Right.
It's got to be out there. So all I was trying to do is to get people to move. I don't want you to go into the gym and kill yourself. I just want you to start walking.
Yeah.
I want you to walk. Instead of sitting down, I want you to walk a little further. That's all.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was a funny thing after the Dr. Oz show.
Mm-hmm.
I moved to a new house,
mm-hmm.
and it had 21 stairs up to the bedroom. And I didn't want to get the house because of the 21 stairs that I'd have to walk.
Wow.
But I got that place, and I'm telling you, the act of going up and down those stairs has strengthened my legs, my knees, and my determination. So yesterday morning, I got up, I got all dressed, I got downstairs. Guess what? I forgot my phone.
Mm-hmm.
So that was...
So I didn't make any calls. No.
I thought you were going to say you went back up and you got it.
No, I did. I went back up and got it. You know, I said, you know, this is how crazy I am. I said, you know, I might call my friend, ask him if he wants to stop over and have a cup of coffee. Uh-huh. And then while he's here, have him run up and get my phone.
But you know,
these are the scenarios that fat, lazy people do. It's about your comfort zone. You've got to get uncomfortable to get healthy. You've got to get really, really, really uncomfortable. You've got to become so uncomfortable that you're almost crying to get healthy.
Louis, I just wanted to ask you, this has been a challenge for you, and I think we got together about a year and a half ago, and you know, the Get Off the Couch campaign for you was this personal thing that you're also sharing with everybody else. Sharing it with them made it better for you. Making it good for you made it better for your for the fans that were watching you, saying, if he can do it, I can do it. When or if does this ever become less of a challenge for you and just become a way of life?
Never.
That's what I suspected.
You know, I want to say, you know, eventually. But it does become easier.
Mm-hmm.
It does become easier. And maybe someday that will all be lifted from you.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you will be lifted. You know, you can only hope for, and what I believe, that God or whoever your higher power is will lift the addiction or the desire from you and free you, like a person who has a drinking or drug problem.
Mm-hmm.
Because always you must be on guard at the wall for that old you sneaking up the wall and over and into your psyche.
Mm-hmm.
You must always be diligent about that. You know, I just have learned so much as you get older. Of course, it's always, you learn so much and then you're too old to do anything.
Right.
But still, you know what I mean? Like in one sense, like, oh, why didn't I do that at a younger age?
Right.
Well, because you couldn't. You know, you didn't see it. You didn't want to. You know, you weren't. You didn't have the support, whatever it is.
Right. You didn't have the knowledge. Right. Yeah.
How much of the struggles of your early childhood, which are very well documented by you, and I know that that was a big influence on the issues, how much of dealing with those issues for you has made it possible for you to do the get off the couch, to try to get Louis Anderson in shape, to face that? Was that a cathartic thing that you needed to do to even be where you are now?
When you think that things are going to affect you, you know, you can't get past things, whether it's being hurt by your parents or being hurt by a loved one or being mad about somebody at a, you know, where you went to school or where you had a job. At some point, you start carrying all those things around out of choice because you have to, you know, I've done a lot of therapy and you have to do work on it, but you do at some point have to walk away from that.
Mm-hmm.
It can be something that happened, but it no longer is in your life.
Right.
It's no longer happening to you.
It can't
so
handicap
let's move
you
on. You know what really helped me a lot? A wonderful book called The Happiness Advantage. It's by Sean Acor. You should have him on your web, your podcast.
The Happiness
Sean
Advantage.
Sean Acor, A-C-H-O-R. And he did these studies where he studied people who were happy and they couldn't figure out why in their stressful and unfortunate situations they were still so optimistic and happy.
Hmm.
And guess what? It's because they chose to be.
Yep, I understand that. I get that.
I get it too.
Yep.
So these are our choices. It's a very adult thing. It's not as much fun as being a big baby. It's much more fun to be a big baby and go, well, I want to have some toast.
Right.
Why can't I have some toast? If I just had a piece of toast, I would stop complaining. And, you know, I would not stop complaining after I'd have a piece of toast.
Right.
I'd get into the fact I didn't get any jelly on the toast. I had toast, there was no jelly on the toast.
Let me ask you this, and this is great that you're sharing all of this with us, and it's, you know, this kind of thing helps people because so many people are dealing with these issues, whether it's food or the sex or the drugs or whatever it is, and it's helpful to people to know what are the coping mechanisms, how do I get off the couch, how do I do these things. But I want to ask you this. You're in Vegas. You're performing however many times a week you perform. This has been a rough year in many ways in our national situation. There have been some heavy news stories and things have gotten tense and all that kind of thing. You talk about the Fergusons and the things that are going on in Afghanistan and all that kind of stuff. Where do you find humor now? And how do you, in the midst of all the personal stuff that you've dealt with, and all the other stuff that's outside, how do you go out every night and entertain people for an hour and 20 minutes or whatever it is? Where do you get the comedy from? Where do you get the humor from?
You know, I just started with a really simple thing. So, you know, I was getting up this morning and I got all dressed and I looked fairly presentable and I got downstairs and I thought, well, that's good. I'm all ready to go. I walked down 21 stairs and then I realized I forgot my phone. And then, you know, I would lay out that exact thing we just talked about. That's going to become a routine,
mm-hmm.
you know, where I go, this is how far I will go to not have to go back up the stairs. Mm-hmm. I will call my friend, invite him for coffee, and then ask him nonchalantly, hey, man, I just realized I forgot my phone. Could you run up and get it for me?
So these things come out of your personal life every day.
Yeah. Every day, God mails me an envelope full of stuff. Like, here's another one. A friend actually was talking to me. He's very funny, and he goes, you know, I was just watching some young people, and I realized I want to go up to him and go, you're wasting your time. You should live every moment. He goes, I'd give anything to be able to run for a half hour without stopping again. He said, I'd give anything for the chance to jump up and down and not have my neck hurt. I'd give anything to wake up out of bed in the morning and not have one ache.
Oh, yeah.
I would give anything.
I think comedy for me is all around me. Comedy for me is everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so fortunate and so grateful. And, you know, I'm just the luckiest guy in the world.
We are too to have you. Louis, I am wondering how in all of these years that you've been doing this, you have been a vital stand-up comic all this time, and you've been able to remain a clean comic in the midst of things getting dirtier and more salacious and easier, I think, in comedy to go that way. And you never did. You are known for being a clean comic. Mm. Do you have a sense of how you've managed that?
And why?
I think I'm, you know, like maybe somebody says to an artist, how do you paint like that? I've always wanted to paint like that. And the artist looks at them and goes, what do you mean? This is the only way I know how to paint.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I will answer that question like that. This is the only way I know how to do comedy.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I love that.
It doesn't sound right coming out of my mouth otherwise. It doesn't sound right. You know, I swear in my personal life, but, you know, if I did that on stage, I just would go, you know, it just doesn't sound right. Mm-hmm. It doesn't appeal to me, and it doesn't appeal to my audience. I could do it, and I could maybe find a whole new group of people who'd like to listen to me, but I would disappoint a tremendous amount of people
sure.
who've not only enjoyed my comedy, but my DVD is Mom, Louie's Looking at Me, which just came out with the 25th anniversary edition.
Wow, 25 years?
That's,
wow.
Yeah, that DVD is a DVD that a lot of people play for their children.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah,
because they want their children to be involved in clean comedy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been doing shows around the country where I do a clean show on Sundays, squeaky, squeaky clean, mm-hmm. that's really appropriate for the whole family.
Mm-hmm. That's great. That's, you know what? Because we don't have enough of that now. Listen, I did stand-up comedy professionally for 9 years. My act was 95% clean. There was like one word or two here or there, and actually not on most nights. It would depend on what was going on. But that's what I've always been attracted to. And to this day, you know, like Gary alluded to, I think people like you, the Jim Gaffigans, people like that, it's so much more clever. It's easier to just go for the cheap shock value of the swear words and the cursing and all that kind of stuff. I appreciate the clean comedy because you got to work harder for it. You really do.
Yeah, well, I think that there's a lot more clean comics than they get credit for. There's a lot of people out there doing clean comedy. And I think you're right. I mean, you got all of them. You got John Crist as a new young comic who's completely clean.
Mm-hmm.
I have lots of comics who've worked with me who are completely clean.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they might not be clean all the time with their stuff, but they can do a completely clean act. You know, one of the things comics should realize is there's a lot more money available.
Absolutely.
If you do clean act.
Absolutely.
They're just good.
Right, that's right.
Who do you like now?
I try not to watch too much comedy because I don't want any of their ideas seeping into my ass.
I get it, yeah.
Yeah.
Louis,
but I love Nick Schwartz. Nick Schwartzen is a really good friend of mine. But Bill Burr is one of my favorite comedians.
Mm-hmm.
I could go on and on, but I'm a fan of comedy.
Louis, you know what? I don't think you and I ever talked about this, but Tony and I are Johnny Carson fanatics. And you had this thing that every comic hopes for, where I guess it was, I think it was 1984, where you made your first appearance on The Tonight Show. Every comic describes that as a moment that changed their lives. I don't know for you what that moment was or what that story was. Could you tell us a little bit about it?
You know, I used to watch The Tonight Show with my parents.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And my dad would let me stay up and watch the comics. And here's this kid from the projects of St. Paul standing behind the curtain where all the comics used to come out of. And it was 12:05 in the Midwest, which is when the comic would go on.
Mm-hmm.
My next guest is named Louis Anderson. He's a comedian. He's making his first appearance on national television. Would you welcome, please, Louis Anderson. Louis.
I went shopping today. What's this one-size-fits-all stuff? Being in California, being fat, and trying to get into this California life. Went to the beach the other day. Every time I'd lay down, people would push me back into the water. Hurry up, he's dying. And the bums down at the beach, always coming up to you, those guys. Hey, buddy, could you help me out with a sandwich? Well, sure, where is it? Of course, what brought me to California was the Olympics. I was tried every event for the Olympics. Tried that pole vault. I drove that sucker right into the ground. I did a good thing, though. I straightened out those uneven parallel bars. Broad jump, killed her.
So here I am behind there. The light hits it, and I come out, and it's a giant smash hit that I got to do my act that I've been working on forever. To the greatest host and comedian of my time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just changed my life. I went from making a few hundred dollars a week to making $1,000 a night.
Wow. All right, Louis, listen, we know you have to go. We don't want to keep you too long. Thank you very much for being on with us.
I'll come back on your show. It's a great show.
Absolutely.
We'll talk to you anytime, Louis. You're a great guy,
okay.
Man.
Thank you so much,
Thanks
man.
Thanks so much. I love you guys.
Love you too. Thanks, Louis. Louis Anderson, there you go.
Unbelievable.
I want to, you know, he's a humble guy. He didn't really want to talk about some of the things that he's doing. So we'll just mention he's in Las Vegas at the Plaza Hotel and Casino, regularly booked there.
Yes.
Some more engagements up through Christmas time. Think he takes a little time off, then comes back in January.
He's one of those lucky comics who can choose to take time off.
Yeah.
Because he really is. He can be overbooked.
Yeah.
We talked about that. He doesn't want to work 365 days a year, but he does want to work about 300.
Yeah.
he really just loves this. And what I love is that he's got the passion for this that I bet he had at the very beginning.
I'm sure he does. You know, and when you're a stand-up and when you love comedy, like he said he does, you kind of, I don't want to say it's an addiction, but you get... you know, you get a thrill from that every night, every laugh, every time you have a good show and the audience, you know, they're applauding and standing up and probably in his case and all that kind of stuff. It's as good as the first time it happened.
Yes. Yes.
Although I imagine that time on Carson was probably the peak,
and
feeling.
What was that feeling standing behind that curtain, knowing that this is sort of a live or die moment for any comic?
Right.
You're either going to be a superstar living in a different stratosphere Or you could be just back at the $50 a night clubs,
right,
you know?
That's right. That's right.
And he won.
All right. Louis Anderson.
And we all went out the other night and we went to this restaurant. You ever get the bad food at the restaurant? Well, you don't know it's bad while you're eating it. And you're the only one who ordered it because it had some kind of exotic thing. They went, well, we deep fry it and then we throw it back in the ocean, let it live a while. And we deep fry it again. Oh, I'll take that. That's double deep fried. And about three, you go, oh, what the hell is that? You're in a sound sleep, and that's bad when you wake up. What the hell is that? Oh. And you get, well, I'll walk. Walk helps the pain, doesn't it? Add a limp for sympathy. Okay. And you start right away, I'm dying. What is it? I'm dying. So I drive myself to the hospital because, you know, you're dying. You don't want to wait for anyone. Because, you know, if you call someone when you're sick, they'll say, well, what have you tried? Well, no, I'm dying. I'm not trying anything. I need to get right to the hospital. Well, try this. No. I had double deep fried. I am seriously dying. So you get to the emergency room. Of course, it's a weekend night, so there's 700 people, right? They're all dying, by the way. Because you go up to try to get a, you know, to, hey, I got to get in. I'm really dying. I got to get in. Yeah, right. See, all those people are dying, too. Unless you're spurting blood, you have no shot. So you go over and sit with them. Move over, I'm dying. Finally, they call your name, and sometimes there are people in there, you go, geez, they should take that guy. He is. Even you can say, I have no medical experience whatsoever, but this is worse than double deep fried. And that one nurse who couldn't get a job any other place in the world got that horrible, you know, the emergency room nurses. Oh, my God. The war is over, and they still are carrying it. But so they bring you into this room, right? They bring you in the room, and then they close that big curtain. Kind of a shower curtain thing. Now, no one would look at you except that that's closed. As soon as that's closed, people are going, "What's it? Who's in here?" I'm dying. Get the hell out of here. And, of course, you are next to the person who is dying because you hear him, I'm dying! I'm dying! When? And no matter how sick you are, have you noticed this? You'll look around a room like that for something to steal. You never have enough gauze.
The Tony Perkins Show. Featuring Gary Stein.
That's my favorite part.
I know it is. Louis Anderson, the great Louis Anderson.
He's
good stuff.
Terrific, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
He's a great guy.
All right, we are out of time. This is our longest episode ever, I believe.
I hope so.
You know, but it's good. It's bonus material. It's the holidays. You're out shopping, so you have a little more to listen to.
But the episode was chock full.
As we like to say, chock full and jam-packed.
And jam-packed.
Gary Stein. All right, listen, want to remind you, Off the Cuff, the show that we did this past Friday night on Channel 5, Fox 5, we're doing it again this week.
That's right.
Friday, December 19th. I never know when you're listening to the show, but it's Friday, December 19th at 11:15. Channel 5, Fox 5 here in Washington, D.C., if you're in this area. If you're not, you can. We're streaming it live on myfoxdc.com. Please watch. We're doing it with our friend Sarah Fraser from D.C. 107.3. It's one of the top morning shows in town. And it's like a TV version of this.
Right. It's a TV version of the podcast. That's sort of how it came about.
Yeah.
Would it be an overstatement to say that it's changing the face of television?
That would be a slight overstatement.
A little bit. Not that much, though, but a little bit, right?
I would pull it back a little bit.
So I won't say it.
Don't say that.
I'm not going to.
No.
But if people want to leave comments on the Fox 5 webpage.
Go to our webpage, myfoxdc.com. Go to our Facebook page, Fox 5 DC, I think it is.
It might be good for us. It might be good for you.
Absolutely. So we would love that. Thank you very much. That is it for us, sir. We'll do another show. We've got another show before Christmas.
Yeah.
But happy Hanukkah. We're in the midst of Hanukkah.
Yes.
So happy Hanukkah.
Thank you.
Yep. Rob Ford.
Yeah, happy holidays to both of you.
Thank you very much. We'll see you. Are you with us? I know it's close to the holidays for the next show. Will you join us?
I will.
Fantastic.
I'll be here.
We love it.
Unbelievable.
All right. We thank you all for listening as always. Gary.
Yes.
How about if can we go out? Do you have a little more Ethel Merman, disco Ethel
Merman? You know what? You know what you can count on? You can count on the fact that I got a lot more Ethel Merman. And I don't know what could be better than Alexander's Ragtime Band. Ethel Merman style in disco.
Oh, my God. Enjoy, folks.
Please try.
We'll see you next time.
Tony Perkins Show, a Moore Broadcasting presentation. This is Dude Walker speaking. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Holy complications. Holy agility. Holy blackout. Holy missing relatives. Holy sudden incapacitation. Holy one-track back computer mind. Holy standstills. Holy Fourth Amendment. Holy time bomb. Holy non-sequiturs.
I don't think so, Robert.